and verse 34. Matthew 22, verse 34. It says, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. When we look at this passage of Scripture, we see a contest going on. And I tell you what, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, these scribes, these very prominent intellectual people, I mean, they prove the point that I've often seen is you can have somebody who's highly educated and still know nothing. The smartest people in the world, if they lack common sense, can still miss the obvious. And what you see there, if you read the chapter previous and then this chapter here in its entirety, you see the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians. They're all getting together. First came in the Herodians. All right, let's ask them a question. Then the Sadducees came in and like, all right, well, let us ask a question. And when neither one of them could stump them, and again, you got to understand, they're not asking questions to get knowledge. They're asking problematic questions to trip him up so that they could sit there and say, see, if he was the Christ, he'd know better. If he was the Christ, he'd be smarter than us. So we're going to stump him. Hey, Lord, if a man dies and his brother marries his wife and he dies and so on and so forth, who is it that gets to be her husband in the hereafter? Hey, should we pay taxes? And finally, that's not working. All right, let's get together, boys. All right, you going to ask him? Okay. What's the greatest commandment? Because no doubt these men, they've debated this before, and no doubt they've puffed themselves up in their answer. Everybody had a really good answer. What is the greatest commandment? And I love the way the Lord just taught them a lesson here. And here's the thing. The Lord Jesus Christ, we know it's revealed unto us that he knew they were playing games. And you know what he did? He taught them. If you've got ears, here I am. I don't care what those ears want to do. I'm here for it. He had no problem educating them on the truth. So what's the great commandment? Number one, love the Lord. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. Right? He even says that it's like unto the first. Like unto the first. I want to tell you guys a story. There was a man in the news just recently. We found out over in India, all the way over in India, he got some great news this week. You see, he has been in the courts for the last 22 years trying to right a wrong that was perpetrated against him back in 99. 22 years. Over 100 court appearances to right this wrong that was done against him. I looked it up. I could not believe it. What court case could possibly take 22 years and over 100 court sessions and still not be able to figure it out? The wrong that was made right was a 25-cent overcharge on two train tickets purchased back in 99. Of course, it was in rubies, but it's 20, in our money, it'd be 25 cents. 25 cents. Now, don't worry, he did get some recompense. $180, or $188, I apologize. $188 for damages and for hurt feelings.
They did have to pay the quarterback too. Give him the quarter and $188. Now it does get better because there's some interest that racks up on that 25 cents, right? You go, okay, now here's where he made the money, right? 12% of that 25 cents needed to be paid per year for that 22 years. Now you work that math out, you let me know what it is because I ain't good at that kind of math. But 12% of 25 cents once a year, plus the 25 cents, plus $188 for suffering. Whew! When asked, why on earth would you do this? He says, it's the principle of the thing. That's a direct quote. It is the principle. And he goes on and he talks about how the system is corrupt and this and that. And of course, the man's a lawyer, so it's not like he needed the 25 cents. He's not a poor man by any stretch of the imagination. He's a poorly minded man. But it's the principle. We all act on our principles, our sense of justice, what we think is right. And it is often a motivator for us to chase some awkward and weird and not always helpful things. And sometimes we use our skewed version of morality to chase after things that don't quite have the payoff one would expect. But again, not knocking him, he did get his 25 cents. What God is talking about here is, what is it that motivates you? What Jesus is saying is, these verses, these commands, if they motivate you the way that they should, all of the other commands fall in line with you will have a hard time running afoul of any of the other commands if you keep these two. And I want to focus in on those this morning. Number one, we see the command to love God. And not just to love God, not just to have a love for Him, to be a fan of Him, to know about Him and think, hey, what a great thing it is to have church. What a great thing it is to have the Bible. What a great thing to know that there's a God up there. No, it goes deeper. Love Him with your whole heart. With my whole heart. Now we see that it is divided, heart, soul, and mind, which means that there are three different approaches we need to take to this love. What does it mean to love God with my whole heart? Here's the thing. Do you revere God the way that you should? Do you revere Him? Do I show the proper reverence to Him when I come into His house? Do I have a proper reverence for His Word? Do I have a reverence for praising and worshiping Him? Do I care how it turns out? Do I care how it looks? We ought to. We ought to. I tell you what, I came in on Friday. I was a little upset. Anybody know why I was a little upset when I came in on Friday? They left their little tractor sitting out there. I go, oh, that looks awful. That's going to kill the grass. Now here's the thing. I wouldn't want you to do that to my grass. Would you want someone parked up on your grass? That might bother you, wouldn't it? That's the Lord's grass. I sat there waiting for them to come back. They never came back. It's just sitting there. I'm like, you could park it up in the parking lot. We'll even put the gate across. No one's going to see it. No one's going to mess with it. You could take my parking spot over here. Just don't put it there. I talked to them before. They had their truck pulled up in that little cement thing over there. And they had another part of the truck pulled up onto the entranceway over here. And I thought, well, that's a good deal. I like that. That's a good idea. Use that cement, this cement. I love that. That's the Lord's house. Breaks my heart when I drive through and I see trash all over the front. It breaks my heart driving past the fellowship hall, seeing the roof the way that it is. That is the Lord's. Now it's easy. That is an easy thing for us to see. We can look at that. We say, this bothers me. I see it. I don't like it. We need to do something about it. But I tell you what, there are a lot of things that are God's that we don't reverence Him in. Right? When you are in your home is God's home. When you're with your family, your home, you know, your family is God's family. He gave them to you.
He put those people in your life. Do you reverence Him with what you have? Do you reverence Him with the things of that belong to Him, with His word and prayer time? Do you reverence Him? Of course I'm going to go to Him. I'm not going to tell jokes that are off color like that. I'm not going to present sin in my body so that I can be around Him. No, I'm going to show a respectful kind of love. A respectful kind of love. That is what it means to respect Him with your whole heart, is to have a respectful love. I'm going to hold Him higher than anybody else. We get into quabbles all the time. Well, why is it that, you know, if I want to show up to church in ripped jeans and this and that, what would be wrong with that? Hey, listen, we'll let you in. We'll let you in. We're not going to say anything. But why should we give our best? You know what I'm saying? Now, you see, today I put on the suit. It's getting cooler out, right? Why should we do that? Because it shows respect. Many of you, the way you dressed this morning, you picked out something clean, something good, something that flatters you. You like it. Hey, this is a good color. I like this. I like this outfit. I like this. You put it on. Right? And again, it doesn't all have to be fancy, expensive clothing. We are a little bit more relaxed here, and that's fine. But why do we show up presentable? Is it for some legalistic reasons? Is it because we think that there's some limitation? No, it's out of respect. When I went to go see my great-grandmother, my great-grandmother had a dress code. You could not go see Grammy wearing your ripped jeans. You had to go put on the good jeans. You had to tuck your shirt in. Where's your belt? We're going to go take Grammy to the doctor's office. You better get your belt on. No, you're not wearing that shirt. That shirt's got a grass stain on it. You put on your polo shirt. We're going to go see Grammy. And you know what? When it came down to going to see the Lord, I kind of have the same attitude. Right? Run a comb through that hair. I'm going to go see the Lord. Well, all right. Well, does that mean it's all suits and ties and fancy dresses? No, you wear what you can. Right? We don't have, if it gets to the point where it's legalist, we got to have a tie on. I don't know about that, but it ought to be nice. It ought to be good. You know, we got somebody who lives on the street, they come in here, and the best thing they've got is what they've got on for the last 10 days. You come on inside. You come on in. Right? We're not going to be checking that stuff at the door. If the best you got is a clean pair of sweatpants, thank you for cleaning them. Come on in. Right, we sang a song at Flat Rock one time as a choir. In the song, there was a man who showed up to the church, and he didn't have nice clothes, and his Bible was a secondhand Bible. It was all ripped up and nasty looking. But I tell you what, he said, "I've got the right to be here because I came by faith through grace. But when I come, I'm going to come right. I'm going to come right." Because that is my Father's house. When I pray, I'm going to turn off the television, turn off the radio. I'm going to shut the phone down. I'm going to get down on my knees if I can. I'm going to get into a quiet spot. I'm going to do the best I can to revere Him in this conversation. Because I'm going to show respect for Him. We get so caught up. Well, you know, the Bible doesn't say you got to do that. The Bible doesn't say you got to do that. Why don't you show him the respect you'd show to your boss? Show him the respect you'd show to somebody from the government. Show him better respect than the people you'd show to the government. I know you people. You get what I'm saying? Put some respect on how you treat them. Right? We wouldn't have the Lord in our house and give Him the third or fourth best. We wouldn't reheat the leftovers for the Lord if we've got something fresh there. It's the Lord. Love Him with all your heart. You revere Him. Show devotion to Him. Show devotion to Him. You know what? I've experienced this. No doubt you have too. I've had people pick on me, call me names, tease me. And you know what? Whatever. You pick on my kids, I'm going to feel differently. I don't know what it is. You know what I'm saying? You get angry at me and you throw a punch. All right. I've been hit before. You raise your hand to my wife. I feel differently. Why? The devotion. The devotion. You know, what is it that brought you in here this morning? Was it the alarm clock?
Was it a sense that you needed to show off? Was it a sense that you might get in trouble if you weren't here? Or was it, where else would I be? Where else would I be? I mean, the golf course is always there. It's always there. I don't know how long golfing normally takes you. Probably takes me 4, 5, 6 hours to get through it. But you're always there. Hey, the restaurants, they will still be open. The grocery store will still be there. Right? Those vacation spots are open on a Monday just as well as they're open on a Sunday. And hey, tomorrow's Labor Day. There's all the time in the world for other things. But when the door is open and my Father's in His house, I am there. Now again, you know how you know what I'm going to say. If you physically can't make it, there ain't no one picking on you. All right, we ain't doing that. But the point I'm saying is this, is when it comes down to reading your Bible, what else would I do? Am I going to get edification on CNN? Am I going to get edification during these talk shows? I don't think so. I'm going to get riled up. I'm going to get excited. It's going to occupy my brain for a little bit. But it will in no way pay off the way the reading of the Bible pays off. Prayer. Well, how many times do I got to pray? What's the right amount of prayer? I tell you what, it does not matter. If you have a devotion to prayer, the timing, the what, everything will sort itself out. If you're devoted to God, you'll pray. Tell me about how you prayed for 10 minutes 5 times a day. Tell me how you sat down and you lost time in prayer. If the reason why you're praying is devotion, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. We need to love Him like that. Desire Him like that. Be loyal to Him in that way. And part of it is I'm going to put Him first. I'm going to put Him first. You come into my house, all the kids eat the same time. Right? We don't have one eats, and then when they're done, the other one eats, and then when they're done. No, they all eat the same in my house. They do. Why? Because that's equality, that's fair, that's baseness, right? When it comes down to my Lord, I put Him first. I've got in my office right now my calendar. You've seen it? You see my little calendar book? When I put my calendar together, what comes first? It's got to be the Lord. You know what happens when something happens and interrupts my morning and time is interrupted my time with God? You know what it does for the rest of my day? It's like somebody shook it. Like somebody flipped the table on my whole day. Doesn't matter what it is, it's got to start with my knees on that carpet. It's got to start with the Word of God. Or you know what? We might as well call this one a mulligan. I need a do-over on this. I've sat there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, finally sitting in that chair going, man, I'd like a do-over. We don't get to go back in time, do we? We don't get another one. We put God first. Hey, what am I going to do with my finances? You put God first. Hey, what am I going to do with my time? You put God first. What am I going to do in this decision? God first. And I promise you, He will not let you get robbed. He will not just take, but He will enrich the rest of whatever it is. He will bless the rest of the day. You give Him the first part of it. He'll bless the rest of the money if you give Him the first part of it. Now, that's not that prosperity preaching. Don't get distracted. If I give Him what I know He needs, the rest will take care of itself. There'll always be something there. If I give Him my family time, if I give Him this, if I put Him first in my family, the rest of my family life will be enriched. Well, you can't do that. You're going to rob from your family? No. No. Because you see, putting God first in my family means I'm a leader spiritually to them. It does not mean I lose that time. It puts quality to it. Puts quality to it. I love it. There are so many times where I'm here doing something and Danielle brings some of the kids up and I'll be working and the kids are here. I love that. I love that. Well, now, wait a minute. Why don't you just go home? Because God comes first. And you know what? I think that those are blessings for them, too. I think it's a blessing to be in God's house. I love work days where there's kids running around in the hallway. I love that. God enriches the rest. He enriches the rest, makes it better. Now again, not more, doesn't increase the money, doesn't increase this or that. Not necessarily, he could. But it means that he'll work everything else out. Work everything else out. I tell you what, we need to have a devotion to him. We need to seek him first. We need to revere him. It says, with all your heart. It says, with all your soul. With all your soul. Now, I had to sit there and scratch my head a little bit on this one. My soul. Well, if my heart's my heart, then what's my soul? Well, I tell you what, it is very hard to serve the Lord. Very hard to love him first when there's problems with my soul. What kind of problem is wrong with my soul? I've got a sin problem that affects my soul. That is literally implying that in order for me to love him with all my soul, I've got to keep that separate unto him. Which means I stop filling my head and my body with garbage. That's why I'm watching. I'm being careful with what I watch. Being careful with what I listen to. Being careful with what I'm a part of. Because the very sin that sits inside me puts distance between me and God. You following me? I'm building a distance between God and my soul with the sin I participate in. I need to love him with my soul so that when he looks down at me, all he sees is the blood and not how I've taken advantage. Not how I've taken liberty and license where I ain't got it. I keep it clean for him. I keep it clean for him. There was a time when I had to work a lot on Saturdays, and every now and then I'd bring Xander in with me to work with me on Saturdays over at, I think it was the one out in Southfield. Was the one, what's the Southfield? Yeah, Southfield I was at. He had his own little desk and I kept it for him. His own little desk. He sat there, he watched videos and do his coloring and read his books right there at that little desk while Daddy did his work right over here. I kept that spot for him. Every now and then somebody would come in, well, what's this for? Oh, that's my son's desk. It was reserved for him. Now, most of the time he wasn't there. But in my heart, man, that's his. Your soul needs to be a spot for the Lord. Keep it clean. Keep it ready. So that there is no distance between you and God. So when he calls you, you're that sheep that's right there. Ready to listen. Ready to be there. You don't put distance between you and the Lord. And oftentimes we do that in our soul with that sin. And not just in keeping ourselves clear of sin, but there's something wonderful that happens in the soul when we develop worship. Now, I'm not just talking about singing songs and feeling emotions. When we really are reflecting gratitude and love towards God in either singing or poetry or things like that, you know, Brother Ronnie Wolf is one of my all-time favorite preachers, a real hero of my faith. He is a man who's blessed with the ability to play the piano, to sing, an amazing Bible study, a great theological knowledge, great preacher, right? Just wonderful all the way around. But he writes these poems, and they shatter your heart, and they encourage you. And I absolutely love when a heart can express through poetry. It's love and devotion to the Lord. It doesn't have to be singing. It can be. It can be. Oh, it can be. The beautiful singing that I have heard in my life, the people that have gotten up and bared their soul to the Lord through song. Oh, it's beautiful. And maybe they can't sing. Maybe they play an instrument. Maybe it's not poetry or playing an instrument or singing. Maybe it's just their ability to pray and the words that they can say to the Lord. We need to worship. Give him your soul in that way. Give him everything you got. Through worship. Through worship. It says, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Now, the mind is the hardest one, I think, because if you can't get the mind involved, it's impossible to get the others involved. Right? The mind is the real battleground. Right? Because the mind's always working. The mind is always doing something. How can I love God with all of my mind when there's all these temptations and all these things going around? Well, we need to be, we need to be a little bit more examinatory. We need to be a little bit more self-examinatory on how we see ourselves. Hey, do you love God? Or does how much you love God, is it reflected in your thoughts? In your thoughts. Now here's the thing, we've all got random thoughts, we've all got purposeful thoughts. They're a good indicator, a good test of if you love the Lord with all your mind. If the first reaction out of your mind is, well, there's no hope. If the first reaction out of your mind when you're stimulated by anger is something you need to repent over, well, that's a good indicator that your thoughts are far from God. What must I do then? How do I fix it? If I don't love the Lord with my thoughts, how do I fix my thoughts? How do I do that? How do I get in there? Well, I tell you what you feed your brain affects what comes out of your brain. I'm just saying. If I'm sitting there and I'm surrounding myself by foul-mouthed people, guess what's going to be on my mind? If I'm filling my mind with a lascivious type of music, a very sensual type of music, well, guess what's going to be on your mind? If I'm watching horrible things and I'm surrounded by people that are saying and doing horrible things, if I fall into bad company, of course that's what your thoughts are going to do. So flip the script. Change it. Change your mental diet. I'm going to get more in the Word. I'm going to surround myself by godly music. You ever sit there and you hear a song? I told Danielle, I can't remember the name of the group, but I found a CD that I was playing. And I said, you know what, this is one of those groups. I've listened to the whole CD, and I've not found a single scriptural error. And I got excited about that. That's nice. But there was a song, there was two or three songs that they played, and it didn't just convict me, it split my heart wide open with its message. And it cracked. One of the lyrics that they said, he's talking about all the mistakes that he's made and how he needs to go to the Lord for more grace every day. He says, I'm out here dying, but it's not to myself. But it's not to myself. We need to die to ourselves. Fill our heads with the kind of music that promote godliness, that encourage godliness. Right? Well, brother, that's kind of square. I don't agree with that. You know what? I don't necessarily agree with some of these dietitians out there that say you need to have a predominantly vegetative diet. I don't agree with all these people out here that say you got to have this percentage of this kind of food, that percentage of that kind of food, and look at me, ain't I doing great? I don't agree that you can't have a milkshake with every meal. At one particular time in my teenage years going through high school, I did believe that a can of frosting was breakfast. Now, I'm free. I was happy. Everything was great when I was in high school. That was wonderful for me, right? And then after school, you go home and you grab yourself a giant Slurpee. Not just a big gulp. I had a big jug, right? Hey, man, all right. Who are you going to listen to? I'm tired of people who are struggling with sin telling me that listening to godly music isn't something that they need to do. I'm tired of people who watch disgusting things and abide by disgusting things and fill their head with disgusting things who are still struggling in their sin, who bemoan their sin, saying, I don't know how to get any better, coming at me and telling me that it's not right to be that strict. It's about love, not restriction. It's about devotion, not restriction. It's about the outcome of that behavior, not restriction. You go down there, there's a lot of leeches in that water. Don't go swimming in that water. Well, I don't believe you can tell me what water's not good for me to swim in. All water's good for swimming in. I didn't tell you that you can. I told you that you're going to get bit. How dare you? It's about love. It's about what's best. It's about encouragement. What do you need? I need scriptural encouragement, especially if my thoughts don't reflect love for God first. I need encouragement. Well, sometimes I just need some noise in the background. You know what? I got a great program for that. It reads the Bible to me, makes noise in the background. Okay. Well, I mean, I I don't always catch it, so I don't know if that's a good idea. Oh, no, you still read your Bible. You still, but have some noise in the background. You don't need that sinful stuff. You've got that. You got music. You've got that. You need to make sure that your reading is effective reading and not just... it's a to-do list item, right? I want to do it because I want to see what's there. I want to do it because I want to see what I can do with this. It's like a box, what's in there. I tell you what, one of the best things in my life is a box that I don't know what's inside of it. It's my whole thought. What is in that thing? What is that? Right? I used to like going down to the basement, kind of flipping through things to see what's there. Oh, there's stuff in there. Okay, but like what? It's probably Christmas ornaments. Or yeah, I don't know, but we got to see. Yep, Christmas ornaments. Oh, another box. We would pursue the Word of God with that same passion. Man, there's stuff in there. And I'm struggling. I need. And there's stuff in there that matches my need. You feed yourself, you feed your brain better. Your thoughts will reflect a love for God. You feed your brain garbage, and your thoughts will reflect the garbage you consume. So I need to love Him with my thoughts. I need to love Him with my attitude. And I tell you what, that's a hard one, isn't it? That's a hard one. Right? We get that every now and then with the kids. Right? You ever do this with your kids? I know I did this with my parents. Right? All right, go clean your room. I want to clean my room. Tell me to clean my room. Go say sorry to your brother. Sorry. And oftentimes we'd sit there, my mom would sit there, she'd look over at Matt, and you say you're sorry to your brother. Sorry. And then she'd turn over to look at Jason, you need to say sorry to your brother. And I'd be over here going, now give each other a hug. We got attitude problems sometimes, don't we? Many of us, we grew out of that. But we never grew out of our attitude problems. Fine, I'll do it. Fine, I'll give it to the church. Oh, there he goes again. There's another sign-up sheet. There he goes again. There's another this. There's another that. Oh, another fellowship. That's awesome. I wonder if water balloons will be a part of this one. I mean, with our attitude, no. Oh, Lord, yes. Absolutely. How many Bible conferences? I don't know, but I can tell you this. I could use more preaching. I could use more preaching. You know what? Some of these Bible conferences coming up, they asked me to preach. And sometimes I like to think that I'm a little bit more excited about other people preaching than me. I'll be honest with you. I was teasing with one of my friends down there at Flat Rock. He was like, yeah, today at church we're going to have this service, and then we're going to have a barbecue. And I go, man... I go, I never hear any preaching at my church. He goes, what? I never hear any preaching. You guys get to hear preaching at a barbecue. And I never get to hear no preaching. I'm looking forward to it. It's not just a killjoy on my day. It's not just something I've got to schedule my breaks around. No. No, my attitude ought to be, Lord, give me more preaching. Lord, give me more fellowship. Give me more time with your people. I failed to mention this. Pray for Brother Armstrong. Broke his hand. Broke his hand. He's changing a light bulb. I was like, well, brother, well, he said, I was changing a light bulb and I fell off the ladder. But at first he just told me that he broke his, I think it was his arm or his hand. And I go, well, brother, you need to start lifting lighter weights. That'll do it to you. Start lifting lighter weights. You know, I love that. You know what reminded me? You know, there was a while where Brother Armstrong, Brother Works, and I were just kind of sitting around in a circle. And I'm not sure if Brother Jackman was there, but we're all very near each other. And you know what we've always said that we're going to do? We're going to get together. We're going to have coffee on a regular basis because we love coffee and we love each other. And we every time we get together, yeah, we need to get together. We don't do that. And maybe that's just a part of adulthood that I didn't get used to yet. But I just, every time, and then guess what? I don't think about it until I'm talking to one of them again.
I need that time with God's people. I need that time with God's men. Our attitude, it ought to be, Lord, more and more. Lord, give me more. Show me how to give more. Show me how to do more. Let my attitude be right. When I see an opportunity, let me not sit there and go, oh, here we go. I've often encouraged myself with this, right? During the springtime, remember what I was all excited about? Not getting AC phone calls. Those are awful. Even if you're not even the person going to go fix them. Yes, I set my AC at 72. Currently, it is at 73. Well, ma'am, it's 104 degrees outside. I say that's a good victory. Well, I don't think that's good enough. Get out of here. All right, well, I've got five that have exploded in the last 2 hours. We'll get to you when those are done. Unacceptable, and she'll call the corporate office and blah, blah. I've got allergies. Yeah, but you've got a working air conditioner unit, so we'll be there. Now that we're headed into fall, you know what I'm excited about? Oh, yeah, those furnace calls. Now, the furnace calls aren't so bad because, for the most part, your furnace will work. You know what furnace calls I don't miss? It smells. Raise your hand if you know that when you turn your furnace on for the first time this year, it's going to smell. Yeah. Did you know that 3/4 of the population don't know that? As I would be surprised to find somebody outside of this room that knew that. Everybody else knows it, but anyway. I would much rather chase down a bat in the back fellowship hall, which, by the way, I had to do last week. I would rather do that than anything else. Anything secular. I would, man. Would you like to be the president or would you like to be the pastor? I am happy right here serving the Lord. Right here. Well, doesn't it bother you when you got to go pick out the trash? No. That's the Lord's house. You better believe I'm going to pick up the Lord's house. That's the Lord's house. I'm going to pick it up that yard. Doesn't it bother you when things break and things don't go right? No, we got to put a high priority on it. That is the Lord's. I'll bring mine over if I've got to, but the Lord will not go without. Well, wow, that's a very, not very self-focused. How do you take care of all this self-care? How do you take care of yourself? You see, I don't have to. I've always found when I take care of the Lord, my needs get met. There's always time. There's always the money. There's always the energy. There's always the solution when I put God first. Well, you're the pastor, of course. No. When I wasn't the pastor, I found that to be true. When I wasn't, there was always the blessing. There was always the thing there. When I put my attitude right, God put everything else to rights. So that's number one, love the Lord. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Now the next thing that he says here is to love your neighbor. And you know, I can love the neighbor. Yeah, absolutely, I love my neighbor. Hey, neighbor, how you doing? Who's my neighbor? Anybody can be my neighbor. The people that I'm most adversely against can be my neighbor. Absolutely, Fred Rogers is my neighbor, as well as, you know, anybody else could be my neighbor. Everybody, I get it. As yourself. Oh, now, come on. Can I just love them? No, love them as yourself. Love them the way you love you. Now, here's what a lot of us will do. Oh, I don't like myself very much. And to that, I will say, I doubt you. I doubt you. Right? When you go out to eat, who do you feed? Yourself. You do. When you order, do you order the things that you like? Or do you order the things that other people like? The things you like. Right? Even I have a hard time feeding myself. I hate myself so much. I don't feed myself. I don't do this. I don't do this. Well, why don't you leave your house? Because I don't feel like it. So I must not love myself very much. Why don't you eat? Well, I don't feel like it. Even in your self-deprecation, you're loving yourself. You may not be doing healthy things, but you are doing what you want. Because you want it.
everyone loves themselves just a little bit. What about people that commit suicide? They must not love themselves at all. A lot of times when people do that to escape problems, they know full well that they're taking those problems and they're leaving them to somebody else. There's always that love for self. There is no level of depression, there is no level of hurt that stops us from loving ourselves. You want to see someone who really doesn't love themselves? Those are the people that don't raise their hand up to block a shot when somebody throws something at their head. Right? Let me throw a dodgeball at you. And if your hand don't go up, then you really don't love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. That means some things. Number one, we need to respect others the way we would want to be respected. And that goes down from manners to literally everything else that you can think of. Yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Now, I know nowadays you get in trouble with the yes, sir, yes, ma'am. But yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Show some respect. Right? Treat people nicely. Don't be rude to them. Don't take your anger out on them. I've had bosses like that. And they're in a bad mood. They're coming straight for you. Right? I don't care what you think. We're going to do this. We're going to get this done right now. And every single last one of you, I'll fire you if you don't. Okay, boss. Somebody get out and get this man a coffee. Something. He needs a bear claw. I'm in a bad mood, so I'm going to take it out on other people. Oh, well, you don't understand. I was angry, so I had to do that. You don't understand. I was upset. You don't understand. I was having a rough day. You don't know what I'm going through. Blah, 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 blah. There is no reason for you to be mean to somebody else. The end. Now, there are corrective things, right? Lord flipping tables in the temple. That makes sense. There's a righteous anger. Right? When we discipline our children, there's a righteous anger. When we preach against sin, there's a righteous anger. But I tell you what, there is no anger where you're angry at stubbing your toe, so you take it out on somebody else. Well, you don't get it. I feel miserable. I feel really sad today, so that's going to affect how I treat people, only if you let it. See, we get this duality. We all pretend like we've got some weird, sinful schizophrenia. You know what I mean? Like, I'm complete control of my body until I sin, in which case I had no control. Why'd you do that? I don't know. What were you thinking? I don't know. It just came out. It just came out. Right? I don't think so. Now, it's not a very polite conversation, but many of us, like, we burp, don't we? Now, maybe not you, but some of us do. Some of us, we fight it. You fight it. I fight it. Right? We don't just let that happen. Now, every now and then, something like that might just, I'll go to talk every now and then, Words don't accidentally come out of your mouth. You following me? They came out because you threw them out. You might not have baked that thought all the way through. You might not have thought about the consequences of those words, but it was you who decided to say them. We got to love others. Show some respect. Show some respect. Well, you don't understand. They're not very respectful. They're not people that deserve respect. Okay. Do you respect the Lord? Yeah. Told you to love Him as yourself. So if you can't do it for them, you sure better be doing it for the Lord. Sure better be doing it for the Lord. You know, and again, we fall back onto that sermon from Wednesday. Lord, why are you sitting at the table with these sinners and these publicans? Because that's what God told them to do. That's what God told them to do. Let's show some love. Let's show some love. A little bit of respect. Now, not just to respect others the way we would want to be respected, but we need to forgive others in the ways that we need to be, that we would want to be forgiven. Listen, each and every one of us, we've got struggles and we've got burdens. And you know what? I preach on sin and I reference things and I know that it seems like I've got a very cold attitude towards them, but there needs to be compassion and love and forgiveness. Why? Because you do the same things that anybody else would do. There's not a sin on this planet you wouldn't do. if it was well within your ability to do it, and you gave yourself over to righteous living enough, there is nothing out there you wouldn't do. You ever think out there that there'd be some soul saved that was already saved from the Lord that would commit some crime worthy of going to jail? It happens. It happens. Do you think that that person out there who might have ended up doing something awful, do you think that perhaps you'd follow in the same footprints? You'd follow in the same way? The same wrong that other people can do, you can do. And God can see us all the same. Forgive others the way you would have them forgive you. Because there is no way of telling just how bad you would be. We don't have a high ground here. We don't. Sometimes we'll look at other people that committed a sin or did a wrong thing, and we'll say, oh, what a pathetic person. Oh, what an awful person. We're all capable. Show forgiveness. Show love. Just the same way as you'd want it to be shown to you if it was you. Show it. And as we see all the conditions and all the things out there, you know, what the Lord says about not forgiving us if we choose not to forgive others. And not just to respect, not just to forgive, but to care. Now, what's the difference? Respect, love, isn't that all care? Isn't that all emotion? No, care is not just emotion. And I think we confuse that, right? Now, I love that little girl back there in her mommy's arms. I love her so much. And you know what? We went to the science center yesterday, and mommy gave her a big chocolate cupcake, which means that among the very pretty outfit that she had on, she was also wearing a chocolate cupcake. And I saw that as much as, you know how you can clean a kid, never quite get it all? Well, we got her the thing, and the sunlight hit her. And the sunlight revealed just a little bit more cupcake. So I took the wipes that we keep in the back, because when you've got kids, you've got to have wipes everywhere. And wipe her down, wipe her down. Folks, that's care. Oh, I see you got some cupcake on you. Hey, let me clean that off. Oh, I see you have a need. Let me do something about that. Oh, I see you have a hurt. I see you're mourning. I see that there's grief. I see that you're struggling with this sin. I see that you have this need for fellowship. Let me be a part of it. You know, I don't have a lot of resources, but I've got time. You know, I don't have all the answers, but I do have ears. You know, I've got shoulders you can cry on. I've got this, I've got that. Lord, if there's anybody around me that needs that kind of care, show me. We ought to care for each other. Put the effort in to be careful, to watch over, and to show not just respect and love, but to be there for each other's needs. Even if it comes down to, hey, I see you falling off into a sin there. I think we ought to talk about this. Let's get the Bible open. Let's show some care. Go with me, if you will, Mark chapter 12, verse 32. Mark 12, 32. See, Mark, in his accounting of this story, he put a little something extra in there. And I don't know if he caught it and Matthew didn't, or if the Lord distinctly gave that to Mark to share. But Mark 12, 32. And the scribe said unto him, this is after the whole conversation's taken place here, and the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. But when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. You see this exchange? I love this exchange. I love it, because here's this guy. You're right, there is one God. And maybe he was being just a little bit edgy about Jesus saying that he is Lord. But there is one God. And he affirmed everything that Jesus said, but he did it discreetly. Now here's the thing. I think that if he was being arrogant, he would have been very Sadduceical about it, very Pharisaical about it, very Herodian about it. And he would have been mean about it, but he wasn't mean about it, was he? He said it discreetly. You're right. You're right. See, many of us here, we're in this young man's shoes, where we sit there and we say, yes, you are right. Love God first. Love others. Be there for them. Respect them. Love them like I'd love myself. Yes, this is right. But as the Lord says, you are so close. You're so close. But not quite there. Not quite there. You see, many of us, we are close. We do understand. You have an understanding, but perhaps selfishness keeps you from the full understanding. You see, this man had the ability to sit there and say, yes, that is exactly what it is. But he didn't have the ability quite to accept that Jesus Christ was the Christ. That this man in front of him was one of them. What was one of the Trinity? Was the Christ? Was the Messiah come to save him from his sins? He was close, but not quite there. Many of us, we have salvation. But when it comes down to keeping these commandments, we're only so close. Because I'll be honest with you, being close means that there's distance to be covered. And oftentimes that distance to be covered is filled with selfishness. Well, I'm not going to give God that. I'm not going to give God that portion of my heart. I'm not going to give him that part of my life. I'm not going to share that with him. That's legalism. That's Phariseeism. That's, why should I have to change my life for him? Why should I have to sacrifice for him? Why should I have to do for him? He's held nothing back from you. Held nothing back from you. So you ought to. Yeah, all right, fine. Well, I'll get the whole thing with God. But why on earth should I show love and compassion to these people out here that are doing all this wicked stuff? Because God did it for you and you are just as undeserving. We've got no argument. No leg for us to stand on here, folks. We cannot let selfishness creep in. And of course, as we understand, close isn't good enough. Close is not good enough. When it comes down to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, close does not work. This is not horseshoes nor hand grenades. Close gets you nothing. It is obedience or disobedience. Now, wait a minute. What about neutral? Well, let's see. If serving the Lord is an uphill battle and we're paddling upstream, right? If I get out of my kayak and I'm paddling upstream and I neutralize my paddling, that means I stop paddling. Where am I going to go? Am I going to stay where I am? Nope. I'm going to turn sideways. I'm going to start going that way. Right? I got to keep going. There is no neutral. In this sinful flesh, there is no neutral. If I'm not fighting sin, it's going to grow. If I've got empty spaces in my heart, sin will fill it. Because that's what I want. That's my nature. Lord saved me, but it didn't change it. And then when I'm planting sinful things on top of it, and there's more neutral and more sinful than spiritual, and I sit there and I go, well, gee, what's wrong with me? It's because close don't cut it. It's obedience or it's disobedience. We must give him our all. In this particular man's case, understanding the value of loving God and loving others as yourself wasn't even enough to get him to heaven. So close to the kingdom of God. There's a lot of people sitting in franchise churches right now. They're so close. Man. But they're wrong. So close, but they're wrong on the fundamentals of who Jesus Christ is. Close does not cut it. I need to hurry. I know we're running late. What I need to do is I need to embrace it all. I need to embrace it all. I need to embrace Jesus Christ as he is. As he presents himself, as he commands us, I need to embrace Christ as he is. I need to embrace God as he is. And all of the commandments that he has given me over my life, I embrace it all. And oh, how about this one? Your actions must match your belief. Do you believe you ought to love God first and foremost above everything? Yes. Then why aren't you showing it? Oh, it's a little discipline thing. I'm just not well practiced enough in it. Well, since you hit the nail so tightly on the head, drive that thing in. Aren't you sick and tired? I get sick and tired. I do. Of knowing better and still looking back and going, you know you shouldn't have done that. You should not have done that. And we do it in a thousand different places. I know better than that. I know I can't do that. I know I shouldn't do that. But here I am. And we kick ourselves and we bemoan ourselves. No, here's the idea. If you know you've got a discipline problem, tighten up the discipline problem. You got a plan? Set some timers? Call a friend? Get some accountability? Figure it out. Because close does not cut it. Love God first. Assess yourself. Do I love Him with my whole heart, my whole soul, my whole mind? Do I love others, or do I love others as I love myself? If I'm finding evidence of not, I need to write that down. And I need to hit that with some verses and with some memory. Let us not be found close. Let us be found obedient. Let us be found right on the mark. Isn't that what Jesus said? All the other commandments hang on these. If you love God, you're not going to balk at a single one of these other ones. Like, that's the marathon. If you can love God as He is, following His commandments will be nothing. You love God the way you're supposed to, and cutting out this sin and acting the way you're supposed to, ain't going to be a thing at all. You love others as you love yourself, there's going to be a lot less sin. There's going to be a lot more ease in your life. A lot less of these battles where you're fighting over 25 cents. Your principles will matter. Oh, it's a matter of principle. You better believe it. Why do you do it that way? Why do you show up early? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? It's a matter of principle. My principles are this. I love God more than anything else, and I love people as I love myself. Those are my principles. Everything else is cake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, forgive me for going for so long. You know I love to hear myself talk. But Lord, I just ask this, that those two commandments, Lord, you perfect them in our lives. Help us to perfect the practice of it. Help us, Lord, to exhort each other in it. Lord, help us for us to be found obedient in that way. We want you to look at us and see that we've got those two and how much easier the other things have come because of it. We want to do right by you. We want to please you. So, Lord, I ask that you continue to encourage us and build us up in these things. For the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.